Yagali Du, John Ross Shaiji, Anushin Dinaina Shaijif Bila. My name is John Ross, and my Dinaina name is Anushin. Dine Eshlan. I am Dinaina, or Dine Athabascan, from here around Cook Inlet. Shikechko Katnu Peach. I'm from Kenai. Gasilatnu Dukak Yeshdu Shiti. Means I live in Kasilov, so I didn't have too far of a drive to get here. Kiko Testagaitun Ketnu Dagaile Yeshtu. I also live in Peters Creek, Chugiak area, just north of Anchorage, close to Aklutna. So it's a pleasure to be here in Homer. I love this community, and I have very fond memories of coming to Homer with my grandparents and my parents just enjoying the beauty. This is such a beautiful community. Shekenu means my family, and I want to acknowledge my wife who's here, Leandra, and we have four daughters. They're mostly grown and out of the house now. My wife, Leandra's Clinket from Ketchikan, and she's part of the Sogwe Dee clan, the killer whale clan, and the eagle moiety. And so, with our matrilineal clans, my daughters are all her clan. My aunties, Shabacha Ina, all from Kenai, and my mom there in the red. Thank you guys for driving down from Kenai to be here for this. I serve on the Alaska Historical Commission. Glad to see so many students getting extra credit. That's great. I Shuketnach means my work. And so I do work for the Salamatoff tribe, but I'm here representing myself. I'm both a Salamatoff tribal member and a Kanaitse Indian tribal member. I'm a culture bearer for our people from Kenai. I have been on the Historical Commission for a number of years. My position on there is to represent Alaska Native people. So the thoughts I'm sharing today are my own, not on behalf of an organization. Tsilko Kotana Chilan. We are one people, not only just Kenai and Salamatoff, but around the whole inlet. We're all Tokatna Kotana. We're the Cook Inlet people. And so we've been divided in a lot of ways over the last 50, 80, however many years. And land claims was part of that, but I see a definite movement of more unification and collaboration between our local Cook Inlet tribes. Yagali Du and Nagan Deninu are ways of saying welcome and hello, are greeting words. So welcome to everybody who's here today. Yagalich Kotsisna is Ninachdat, means good that we're gathered together. And our topic is Cook Inlet Dinaina place names and civil rights. Place names are very important to our local Dinaina people. And I will be sharing some of the place names of this area, over a couple thousand of them, so it might take a while. I'm not going to try to cover all of our place names. We're also celebrating Martin Luther King Jr. Day, so I want to keep that in mind, and he was definitely someone who stood up for people's rights. I use a lot of our Dinaina language. I use it to the best of my ability. I'm very much still learning. My language teacher is Helen Dick, who's from Lyme Village, and she is awesome. Her father was also one of my teachers, Pete Bobby. Tekatnu, Katana, Eslena, Ka'iji. Tekatnu is our word for Cook Inlet. Katana is our word for people of a place or a tribe of people. Eslen is land, and Ka'iji is name, so it's Cook Inlet people's place names. The traditional territory of the Dinaina people. All around Cook Inlet here, but also on the west side, on the other side of the Alaska Range, we have many relatives. Villages, including Pedro Bay, Iliamna, Nam Dalton, Lime Village, not on the coast, but very much part of our people. Before we start, I want to ask that we have a moment of silence for those who have recently passed away, including Alan Boris from Kasilof, Susie Ondola from Aklutna, and Gary Thomas from here in the Homer area. After a moment of silence, I'll say a Dinaina prayer to acknowledge our heavenly parents, and our ancestors. Chinan Nakultani, Yali Jani Na Akilanda, Yalaj Kona Yatashkun. Thank you for this day, it's a good day. Bachadach Nelna Shnakultani. We pray to you, God. Chakainak Inchedni Natukta. We say thank you, our Father. Sukunalaka Kokanstat. You gave us everything. Yari Kilan Eslen Gu, everything on earth. Chanan Eslen Bunkta Chadalkadi Nistu. Thank you, our Earth Mother, for our provisions. Na Eslena Duchi Dili, we respect our homeland. Euch Ka Chadalzi, we live upon the outdoors. Chanan Yuyank Na Desnaka. Natsitsatna Nuchelnash. We remember our ancestors. Nachayateina da'a chakarkudash. Our ancestors who are still walking with us. Kodi jangu nanuni datoch. Help us today. Kutta ush chitudash chenizen. We want to go the right direction. Nakal jay chukayahu nugadeshi na'a kilanda. We have the light and we know the way. Yari nahanua shluku yalaj ketula sari. Yari nahanua shluku yalaj ketula sari. Yari hanu shluku yalaj sari. So that is a Dinayana prayer called Nahanua Duchi Datkani, which means our work prayer. I want to start with a land acknowledgement. This is something that has been trending over the last several years, probably 4 to 5 years that I'm aware of. Where at the beginning of meetings, public meetings, whatever kind of meetings, people will stop and pause and to recognize the land where we are, the people of this area, and their connection to the land. So this is Dinayana Eshnena, traditional homeland of the Dinayana people. Homer is a part of Yaganin. And Yaganin, in our language, it means the good land, but it's our word for the Kenai Peninsula. I want to also acknowledge the local tribes in this area. First, my relatives from Nanilchik, many of whom are married in with Dinayana families from Kenai, including the current leaders, Greg and Ivan and Slewski, are directly related to me through the Eskolkovs, and recognizing the Soldovia tribe and the families from Kenai are related to the Soldovia people as well, especially the Sakalov family. There's also three people that I want to recognize specifically, and all three of them are connected with this book here. I'm not sure how many of you have seen this book. This is a very, very special book, and it came out in 1991. This is the collected writings of Peter Kalifornsky, and he was one of our tribal members from Salamatoff and Kanaitse. So he's one of the ones I want to recognize, and also Alan Boris and Jim Carrey, and they have worked for decades to help preserve this information and and our dialect, our language, our stories, songs, lessons, and so it has been preserved. Our focus is on education, it's on relearning and rediscovering, reclaiming and restoring, and we have to do this together with the community. So it's great that I'm able to be here and to share this with you, because we need all the help we can get. These are some of the words for our local people of this area. Nakotana, it means our people. The Hetana is always referring to a people of a place. So Eshlen Hetana, that's, we are Eshlen Hetana. We're a people of the land, just like indigenous people all over the world. Tekatnu Hetana, Tekatnu is our name for Cook Inlet people. Yaganan Hetana, the good land people. And that is the traditional name that we go by with the Salamatoff tribe for our Benina name for ourselves is Yaganan Hetana. Tanaina, when Cornelius Osgood came and did his anthropology work in the 1930s, he did the ethnography of the Tanaina. They were just hearing the words different and writing them different. Back then, there was no alphabet for our language. That wasn't initiated until 1972. The Russians called us Kanaitsi, which actually derives from our own words for ourselves. We call ourselves Dene. Somehow they had Tene, and they put ski at the end of a lot of things for people and whatnot. So somehow it morphed Tene, ski, and then somehow it became Kanaitsi or Kanaitsi. Either way, we're still the same people. We do have two tribes in Kenai. Along the inlet, we have many other tribes of Dena'ina. This is a picture of Kenai about 1957, I think. Not exactly sure about the date, but around that time period. So I want to talk a bit about Nanutset, which is our history, and share a bit with you tonight about Nasuktua, which is our story of our people. The Dena'ina have been here around Cook Inlet for about 1,000 years plus, and we migrated from the interior on the other side of the Alaska Range over this way, and we're one of the very few Athabascan people that live on the ocean. Most other Athabascans live in the interior. And so when we came over this way, we adapted our technologies and lifestyle with the change of location. And so we adopted the technology of the Sukpiak or Aleutic people for our skin boats for the ocean. And I'm sure we probably started using atlatls and things like that. I would say that probably pre-contact, we had maybe 5,000 Dena'ina people in our region. We're probably half that right now, coming back up from a low of about 500 people. So even before the Americans came to Alaska, we had about 90% loss of our people. Most of that was from diseases. But I'll be sharing some of the events that have happened and some of the places where these events have taken place. This is a map that shows a number of our place names. I'm not going to go through them all or anything like that. In the Kasilof area. So this is our name for Tustamina Lake, Dostubana, and the mouth of the river for Kasilof, or Kasilatnu is the river name, and Kasilatdakak, or is the mouth of the river, and that's actually where my wife and I live. We, right where it says Chunkdirstun, it's actually spelt wrong, but Alan Boris did these for us, and it's just, how can you complain when he's just pouring so much love and really just helping us so much with everything. So we live there now, and Ukrenesditnu is Kalifornsky village. And that's where Peter Kalifornsky was born, and there's a village site there. One of my favorite places to go, it's just a short walk down the beach. Of course, Captain Cook came in 1778. That was the first explorer to come into Cook Inlet that we know of, that I know of. And it was just a few years later when the Russians set up their first permanent settlement on Kodiak Island. That was in 1784. 2 years later, the same company, the Shelikov Company, set up a fort at Nanwala. So the fur trade was coming closer towards Cook Inlet, closer towards the Dena'ina. Nanwala was still outside of our area. The next year, in 1787, a different company came up and came into to Cook Inlet, and that was the Libido of Lestochen Company. And they set up a fort at Kasilof, right below my house right there. They were doing fur trading. They were working together with our people. We had introduction of new trade goods. Our people would go and hunt fur animals and trade, and things were going along okay. 4 years later, another ship came from the same company, Libido of Lestochen, and came to Kenai and set up a fort. Now these guys were working in the same company, but what ended up happening is they had a huge conflict with each other between the same two leaders of the Russian company. They were aligning themselves with different Keshka or leaders, tribal leaders from our area. The conflicts got worse and worse, and our women got mixed up in that and were disrespected, and it didn't take very long for our people to say, okay, we don't want this. And so in 1797, there was a Battle of Kenai, and you don't read about it in any history books that I know of. There is a book you can find it in, though. Hector Chevigny did Alaska's Lord or something like that. I can't remember the title, but it's kind of like a historical fiction of Alaska history. Well, there's a lot more than historical fiction there, in my view. And when I looked at the very back of the book, it listed the court papers from Russia from all this conflict of what happened during that time period. And so there's quite a bit of detail, actually, in that Hector Chevigny book. At the Battle of Kenai, the Russians were severely defeated. They were wiped out for the inlet, including at the same time at Iliamna and at Tyone. And so from that time on, the Russians did not push hard up into Cook Inlet. The Russian companies that were here at the time were reorganized into the Russian-American Company, which is the monopoly, starting in 1799. And at that time, the Russian company looked to Southeast Alaska to expand and to try to be able to support themselves and go after more furs and do business. There was fighting with the Tlingit people down there, but they were able to get a foothold at Sitka. You know, of course, they continued their business, but I wouldn't say they were wildly successful by any stretch of the imagination. I think they had a pretty hard time feeding themselves with foods they wanted and whatnot, and they set up a fort down in California to try to help with that. One of our tribal leaders went down to California to help them set that fort up. And he was down there for a while and didn't come back till around 1821. Russia didn't own Alaska. I don't know if you knew that, but true story. They had a very small number of buildings in Alaska, and a very small number of Russians ever, actually. One of the things Alan Boris would say is that there wouldn't be more than 10 Russians at a time into the Cook Inlet after the 1797 battle. For the next 80 years or so on the Kenai Peninsula, I would say things were relatively quiet. There wasn't a lot of conflicts going on as there had been before the big battle, but there was a lot of death from diseases. In 1838, over half of our population around the whole inlet died that year from influenza. Our people did embrace the Russian Orthodox faith in the 1800s, especially after the 1838 epidemic. It was in 1840 when a Russian priest came to Kenai for the first time. And Kenai, Kotnu, is our name for the Kenai River, the lower Kenai River, and Keach are named for a village. So it's kind of a modern way of saying Kenai, Kapnu Keach. During this time, the Dena'ina people did not lose control of their territory. We maintained our way of life, our culture, our language, even while becoming fluent Russian speakers and full participants in the Russian church. We were able to maintain our seasonal lifestyles, traveling from season to season, summer fish camp to winter camps, fall camps, spring camps, and we had a relationship and respect with the land and animals. We maintained our traditional stories and our traditions. It was after 1867, especially in the 1880s, when things began to change a lot for the Dena'ina. With the introduction of canneries, first at Kisilov, right below my house. Following 1882, more canneries at Kenai and at Kisilov. Our people ended up becoming in debt to canneries for goods, stored goods, food goods, and disrupted our traditional economy, I guess you could say. The federal education program started up in the early 1900s. The forced assimilation education, those policies have and continue to have a very detrimental impact on generations of our people. Of course, the highway coming at the end of World War II changed everything also. There were major forest fires around that time that devastated the land and animals. And of course, there was new laws that came with statehood that affected all of our people. As more and more people came in with homesteading and with oil and gas development underway, the local Dena'ina people became a small minority in our homeland and basically became invisible people. Nanutsut kita ideshni chu korigu nakazakhta ch iretnak means our history, we know it, and now we take hold of our future. So we're in a process of relearning, as I mentioned. It's not a short, easy process. It takes many, many years and generations, actually. And so it's a process of rediscovering our culture, rediscovering our language, rediscovering our traditions, reclaiming our traditions, reclaiming place names, having ceremonies, things like that, and restoring. So, here's a place. You guys, anybody recognize this? Was anybody aware of the Dena'ina name for Homer Spit? Yes, we do have somebody. Diligent student. Uzintun was our name for the Homer Spit. And the meaning of that is the remains of extension. So there's an extension going out, and that's what remains of it. That was our name. Our name for Kachemak Bay, Tikakak. Tikakak, which means ocean mouth. Kak is the mouth part, and Tika, just like in Tikatnu, means Tika is the ocean. So Tikatnu for Cook Inlet means big water river. And that's our name for part of our name for ocean. Kakak has to do with that opening again, and that's actually a name for Anchor Point. Engidatnu is another local name here. That is a traditional Dena'ina name for Soldovia. On the west side of Tikatnu, I wanted to highlight some names. Zelken is a very ancient name, and the first two words here, I don't really have a good translation for them, but that was a word that we used for the Alaska Range, Zelten. And Tseyenentech means among the Alaska Range. Tashlen Chilten is a community that was on the other side of the inlet. Polly Creek, anybody know where Polly Creek is? Get clams from over there. that word actually means whale where we found. And so some of our words have to do with events and where things might have happened or something took place, like with that one, or it might have to do with the geographic features of the place. So for Kustatan, which that's not a Dena'ina name, I messed up there. It would be Kesdavnen, which means point land. Tabonen is the Taonic area, that means beach land. And Tabona is the beach people, the people of Taonic. And then these last three here are the big significant mountains for us from Kenai is Iliamna, Redoubt, and Spur. So Chinakatlin is Iliamna, Benturash Kunurali, Redoubt, and Idazkani. Chinakatlin has to do with, it doesn't really translate easily, but it means it's like the mother of the rest of those volcanoes. So it's like a family. And Benturash Kunurali, there's a couple names for Redoubt, but that one means the one with the crushed in forehead. Idazkani for spur, that one literally means the one that burns inside. I did bring some show and tell, and I just want to show a couple books here. So the National Park Service, or the Lake Clark National Park, has done just some amazing publications that do document hundreds and hundreds of our Dena'ina place names. Karen Ivanoff helped to put together this one called Dena'ina Ethnena. This is just chock full of just amazing stories of elders and incredible pictures and many, many place names with maps all throughout. It's just amazing. This book is on the West Cook Inlet. It's an ethnographic overview and assessment. And Ron Stanek, James Fall, Dave Holland worked on that. Amazing, amazing information. Just another Park Service book, Whale Where We Found. This refers to the name of Tashlin Chiltan. Brian Fagan, this one was a little bit earlier, I think. The Park Service also worked on this book by Andrew Beluda. He's one of my language teachers. He's from Iliamna and originally Non-Dalton. Amazing man and just an awesome Dena'ina speaker. So in the upper inlet, there's a couple books here. Yeah, they're pretty blurred out, but you might be able to tell that this one here is Shempeats, Alaska, and the original version of Shempeats, Alaska. An amazing compilation of Dena'ina place names. Hundreds. I think the newer version is probably over 1,000 Dena'ina place names just from the upper inlet. And Jim Carey, Jim Fall worked with Shempeat and Billy Pete to document all that. Incredible book. I do have it here afterwards if anybody wants to just look through it. We have villages up in the upper inlet, Kinnick and Eklutna. Those are not the traditional names. Kinnikatnu is a Kinnick name. Idluchet is Eklutna. And that word means plural knobs. There's two little knobs or hills. But they're really big into gravel at Eklutna, so I think there might only be one left. Chickaloo, that's at the border of the Otna territory, and we are related to a number of those people. Of course, Anchorage is in the upper inlet, and there's the Anchorage Museum. And Aaron Leggett works at the museum, who's a Dena'ina person from Eklutna and a traditional chief there now. He has worked with the museum for many years, and he helped to come out with Dena'ina Kuch Ulyashi, which was, they had a Dena'ina exhibit, and many of you might have seen this book. Incredible. And I got to go, I was on the committee for this exhibit, and so I got to go to some of the museums in Europe and help select the objects that were going to come. And amazing, amazing work that was done and documentation. On the museum also, they have from time to time put in giant letters. What does it say? Once it said, Chenanguninyu. That's our way of saying thank you for coming here. And I think now it says, this is Dena'ina Eslena. Something like that. This is Dena'ina country. Up in Anchorage also, we now, of course, have the Dena'ina Civic and Convention Center. And Mayor Begich appointed me to the committee to come up with a name for this, the convention center. And I'm really glad he put Jack Roderick on that committee too, because it wasn't looking good. You know, I had brought this huge stack, and I was like determined we're going to get a denying a name on this. It was leaning towards, you know, towards being named for another person that's passed away, or, you know, anyway, Jack Roderick really spoke up. We ended up coming up with the Denina as the name for the convention center, so that was really cool. Those are some examples of naming and reclaiming that that are happening, and it's not with the historical commission. There's Barrow, you know, that has renamed themselves. Of course, those don't come to the historical commission either. Those are from the communities, from the North Slope Borough. Up in Eagle River, they wanted to come up with a name for the Eagle River High School, and I had suggested the Denina name for the Eagle River, the traditional name. And I remember weighing with myself, like, do I want to shorten the name and make it, like, easier for people to say and agree to? And there was a certain linguist up in Fairbanks who was like, no, it's got to be the real name, you know? And so I did. I proposed the real name, which was Nukalitnu or something like that. I can't remember exactly. But it wasn't selected. So, I mean, there are disappointments, too. Now it's called Eagle River High School. Up in the upper inlet, of course, there's Denali. Name changes on Denali. That one's going to take 40 minutes by itself. But I will mention that the name that we have as Denina for Denali is not Denali, it's Delvele Ka'a, which means big mountain. 4 acre is called Ba'u, which is his wife, and Hunter, which is in between them, is Bagoya, which is their child. So it's a family. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the Alaska Historical Commission process. The Alaska Historical Commission does value input of local people for place names, and there's a process submitting the application, and it goes to the staff for the Historical Commission and the State Historic Preservation Office, and they do the background work, and they will check with each community, tribal organizations, with local governments, to make sure, with the public, to make sure that people aren't opposed to it, or, you know, that they want to support it, or however it is. And we take a lot of, we put a lot of weight on that public input. I was on the commission for a little while, and we had a name proposal come. This happens to be the Upper Kenai River area. Skilak Lake is Esdudalent Bena. And the outlet of Skilak Lake, there was a village right here called Esdudalent, and my great-grandfather was the chief there, Stepan Mishikov. You'll see this word, Skalantnu. That is our word for the Upper Kenai River. And the Kenai Lake, we call Skilan Bena. So same river that comes out of Skilak Lake, different name above it. And this is a very sacred area for our people. This is someplace that we would go if we needed food, if we needed shelter, we needed healing waters, traditional healers, burial grounds. Anyway, a very, very sacred, very special area. Actually, our people would call it the grocery store. Go to the grocery store, in modern times anyway. So we're at the Historical Commission, and this proposal comes to name two unnamed features in this area. This end of the peak and this end of the peak right there. And it was, this was the community of Cooper Landing. They put together this proposal. There's Gwyn's Lodge. Everybody's driven past Gwyn's Lodge. The proposal was to name the one end of the mountain Gwyn's Peak. Her ex-husband was still part of the community, and so it was to name the other end of the mountain that peak, Old Buzzard Peak. And this is a place where I still go. I stop every time when I'm coming back or forth to Kenai. And right there, below the burial grounds, I do like a prayer, you know. Nothing too elaborate. But when they brought the proposal, they had everybody in the phone. everybody from Cooper Landing practically was on the phone, and they're all waiting to get this name approved and excited about it. And my first question for them was, well, did anybody seek any input from the Kenai Indian tribe about this name proposal? And there was a silence. No, they hadn't. They hadn't asked or sought any opinions about it. And so I said, well, I think that should happen. This is a very significant thing. They did. We tabled the motion. The community sought the input of the Kenai Indian tribe, and ultimately the tribe supported the proposal. And so it was approved. I don't know what else to say about that. I mean, we did support it. We knew that's the Russian River, Chinooknu and the Skolotnu, but we didn't have a name for that exact hill, and so we couldn't say, well, no, it's already named. Anyway, that's just an example. We've had many other proposals, and actually because 60% of the state's population lives in the Dena'ina area, a lot of things ended up coming to the Historical Commission were Dena'ina related. There was one up in the Matsu Valley, the Bullshitna proposal, which was a incorrectly used, almost pejoratively used Dena'ina sounding name. And Jim Carrey proposed to change it to the real Dena'ina name. We didn't get the support at the Historical Commission, so we still have bullshit in the lake. I already mentioned Barrow, Utiyakvik, other local communities doing name changes, people reclaiming traditional names. If you go to Hawaii, you see names all over the place, and I just love it. I think it's fantastic. Some of those are pretty long names, but I can still find where I'm going. And I have the book that tells me what these names mean. I love it. New Zealand, same thing. Many other places, some of them are starting to share and use traditional names. So I like the trend that is happening. I like that the Dena'ina people are becoming less invisible in our own area. I wonder what it would be like if we embraced those kind of changes, like Hawaii did or other places. I'm wrapping up. The Kenach Detech means the culture nest, and just wanted to share a little bit about what I do with the Salamatoff tribe and our people in Kenai. We do a culture nest twice a month. We do them, so 24 of them last year. We'll do 24 more this year. We're relearning in a community way our place names, our words, our traditions, our songs, and our dancing. Our language is extremely important to us. Very thankful for our elders who've done stuff like this, along with the support of community and people like Alan Boris and Jim Carrey. That is with all of the English around here, what would it look like to start using some of the traditional Dena'ina place names of this area?